all come together at one time. They're possibly following that route. It works for some. I just think it's just coincidental. And, you know, when you think about it, it's just, you know, an idea that they feel is the direction for them to go. And it, to me, it just really puts a disinterest in your fan base. And, you know, a lot of people are upset about it.
It's interesting. So you think it's sometimes the winning is coincidental or the gathering of the prospects is coincidental. Sounds like you think there's some teams choosing to go ahead and be cheap because they can get away with it this way.
Well, to me, it appears that their main concern is turning a profit as opposed to winning.
Yeah.
I think that is more than fair to say. So what are you going to be doing exactly with the Cubs? What are your goals? Some people on the text line are saying, are you going to work with any of the Cubs hitters? Are you going to work with Schwarber? What do you hope to do with the Cubs?
Well, I'm not here to step on toes or get in anybody's way. I had a conversation with Tom Ricketts, and you know, I just told him, hey, I'm available for whatever capacity you feel is going to be beneficial to the ball club. I do feel I'm best suited at being an instructor, assisting the coaching staff itself. And make sure that they know that I'm available for them. And I think I have a lot of expertise in outfield defensive play. And if, you know, that's a necessity that they're looking for, you know, just bring it on. I do have, I think, an idea of how they want to utilize me. I'm not 100% sure at this point, but because of what I've done in that ambassador's role, I think that's the direction they want to go.
That's really cool, and I think Cubs fans would be happy to see that, and they obviously have new coaches there now, so it would maybe be a good time to get more new voices in. So say you're working with someone on improving outfield defense, like, you know, broad strokes here. What type of tips would Andre Dawson give to a member of the Cubs?
Well, I'll assess their approach, first of all. Say take a guy like a Schwarber. You know, I'll see what his reaction is if the ball is hit right at him over his head to his left or to his right. My main concern would be his footwork, how he is allowing his feet to get his body in position to make a throw, how he charges the ball. That's very essential at the big league level because the game is faster.
Well, making the game faster is a big focus right now for baseball. And I'm wondering if you had, let's say, a 20-second pitch clock when you were playing, would there ever have been an issue of you getting into the box in 20 seconds or a pitcher taking more than 20 seconds? We're not talking about that long ago during your career,
right?
But this is where things have gotten. Like 25 seconds is what they're talking about. But even 20, that was probably not much of an issue for you when you're playing.
No, not at all. I think, you know, guys take exception to stepping out of the batter's box after every pitch. No, I don't think that would have been a problem back, you know, in my era. And it's something that needs to be addressed because you see guys, they'll step out and they'll start to fumble with their batting gloves. And you know, it's to me, it's a waste of time. You see the pitch, you stay in the batter's box, and, you know, you get ready for the next pitch. I always would take one foot out, not both feet, mm-hmm. and I step right back in.
Was there a pitcher who used to try and screw up with your timing more than anybody else? When you think about like a pitcher staring you down, trying to either quick pitch you or make you, you know, is there somebody used to F with you in that way?
I was attempted to be quick pitched once, and that was in Wrigley Field, and I hit a home run. I didn't even stride. I just saw the ball and I reacted to the baseball. And that's what all that body movement is not necessary. You know, I felt I had quick hands and I just reacted to the baseball. I hit a home run. So that doesn't really rattle me. I don't think that, you know, that was a pitcher that I ever faced that intimidated me because it was, for me, I looked strength against strength and I was on top of the plate hitter. And I felt if, you know, you were going to pitch in, I'd get a little bit closer. The plate isn't going to move. I knew the strike zone from the middle end. So the thing about hitting is it's a cat and mouse game between the pitcher, the catcher, and the batter. And you can't command both sides of the plate. I'll give him his strength, and try and adjust to his strength and make him adjust to my strength.
So no pitcher in the game intimidated you. You were going to do your thing. What about like any battles you come over? You're on the Cubs, 87, you and Greg Maddux in spring training. Like I envision so many great opportunities, so many stars on that team. What was it like? Take us back to that season, if you will, and you coming over to the Cubs and going up against some of those guys.
Well, you know, the Cubs had an interesting pitching staff during that time. Maddux was young, and he was up and coming, and it, you know, you saw the potential in him. And it really came out once, you know, he was a free agent and he moved on to Atlanta. We finished in last place in 87, which was a surprise because it was the same ball club that was maybe 3 years removed from postseason play. But the pitching staff itself was interesting. And the thing is, when you finish in last place, then somebody got to suffer as a result. And we just started to clean house in that regard.
You know, I'm looking right now at one of my favorite clips on YouTube regarding baseball. And it's not just because Dan Rowan, the sportscaster on WGN, is wearing an unbelievable Hawaiian shirt.
I see the
shirt.
One you're looking at.
You know what I'm looking at. I'm looking at 1991 when Joe West, who's still umping in the game these days.
And you believe that.
He throws out Andre Dawson. And you with one of the all-time Wrigley Field tirades. And I see you smiling. I hope you can look at it and smile and not feel sheepish about it. Because watching you throw anything that's available out of the dugout onto the field brings jamokes like us a lot of joy. It really does.
Well, I knew I was going to get fined, so I was going to get my money's worth.
Can you believe Joe West is still doing his thing, still throwing guys out?
Well, not really, because, you know, it appears sometimes that he has trouble getting out of the way of the ball. But, hey, I think he wants to go after that record, umpiring the most games. And I tip my cap to him if he can still do it. Let him have his wish.
How'd that feel? Six bats at once, and now there's seven bats at once on the next throw. That's impressive.
Well, that's how many was in the slot at that time.
Whatever was there is what you were throwing, right?
I think the water cooler might have come next. And the funny thing about that is, you know, none of my teammates would look at me. I would even try an attempt to stop me because you didn't want to rattle me or get me angry because, you know, I was kind of out of context and character for me, but, you know, they knew when I was upset, I was upset.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine many people trying Andre Dawson in your time. Not one to back down from a challenge. Yeah, you're laughing about it. You know, actually, there was one newsworthy thing I wanted to ask you about. You were involved in collusion and the famous story of you coming into the Cubs and the blank check and it's signed and all that. Like, one of the most unbelievable ballin' moves in the history of free agency in sports. A lot of people today, this offseason, think that there was collusion against major league players. What do you think about the current state of free agency and what's going on right now?
Well, I think the agents and the players really got to readdress what they're going to ask for, and in terms of years also. I think the owners don't want to really handicap their ball clubs anymore with the long-term contracts. I feel if you're elite, say you like a Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, who's kind of going in that direction, Clayton Kershaw, those individuals are exceptions. But the way the salaries are out of the roof today, I think you can make your money, but it's going to be on the front end, and it's not going to be in terms of longevity over a prolonged period. And I just feel that that's the direction, that's the trend that we're going to see for years.
And so it sounds like you understand. It seems to be like a collective wisdom, like every front office is kind of coming to that same realization. You get where they're coming from.
Exactly.
When you walk in with the blank check, are there nerves? Like, take us through that. Are you nervous? Like, because he could have written down anything in that check. To me, that is one of the all-time cool baseball stories.
Well, I'm hoping that they wouldn't put something in overly embarrassing, because, you know, you look at it, you're kind of sticking your neck out. But I knew in order to get where I wanted to be, I had to do what I had to do. I knew going into Arizona, I couldn't go in making monetary demands. The Cubs was my number one priority for a lot of reasons. But my agent and I, when we sat down and we came up with the idea, I said, you know, this could be a good thing. This could be a bad thing. But the bottom line is I want to play in Chicago. And we gave them the proposal. They evaluated it. I think they made an offer for me to refuse because it was $500,000 less than what Montreal was offering. But when they did make the offer, I said, thank you, Mr. Green. I'll accept it. He got a little quiet. He didn't say anything for about 15 seconds. And I said, hello, I thought I lost the call. But he said, can I get back to you in about an hour or so? I said, sure. And then he called me back in about an hour and he said, you know, welcome aboard. I knew you was just out here. Take your time. Come back out.
Wow. It's arguably one of the most badass moves in the history of free agency any sport.
And it made an offer for you to refuse. So they lucked into you. Essentially, what you did for that era of Cubs baseball and now being a part of it, they're lucky that even happened. That's amazing.
Well, I won't really say, if you want to say lucky, you can.
Uh-huh.
But I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah.
The Baby Otter Andre Dawson Aquatic Center is now accepting enrollment at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. For more information or to enroll your child, call 888- Swim Kid. That's 888-794-6543. Andre, Mindy, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks
thank you for telling
us.
Your story and coming in. This was great.
All right, thank you guys.
All right, I'm gonna get my son over there.
Yeah, please do.
I will.
Get him out of that vest.
Yeah. And don't even bring the vest, please. He doesn't need it.
It's Spiegelwood Park. It's on the